Amen. Get your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. We are continuing our study in biblical marriage, in our series, I guess you would say. And I started out with the first key in biblical marriage, the happiness in the home, how to have a happy biblical marriage. And the first key was maturity. Be mature. Amen. Grow up. And be a mature individual. Tonight, we're going to deal with the number two key. And I'm going to tell you, before we ever get started, ladies, I love you. I mean that. If I didn't, I would not do this. Amen. A pastor has his duties. And he has to do what God has called him to do, which is preach the word. Amen. And this is not Macmillanology. This is Bible. Amen. And I'm just going to give it to you as God gives it to us. Amen. And so you just listen to him and let him speak to your hearts. And I'm not saying that anybody is not doing like they're supposed to. I'm just telling us this is what the Bible says. Amen. So don't say, that preacher. I don't want to hear none of that. Amen. So we're just going to listen to the Lord and listen to the Word of God and enjoy hearing what God says. The number two key in having a happy biblical marriage is submission. Number one, amen, guys. Number one is maturity, to be mature, amen, to grow up. Whenever we're children, Paul said, whenever I was a child, I acted as a child, I played as a child, I did like a child, but whenever I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, he grew up. And when it comes to marriage, people are to grow up. And in part of growing up, we lose that selfishness that we have as part of maturing. It's not all about us, but now we have, once we're married, we have somebody else that's in the mix. Amen? And so we understand. I'm not going to re-preach all that. But the number one key is maturity. And the second key is submission. We're going to look at the scripture tonight. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 17. The Bible says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, I want to reiterate, in that verse of Scripture, it's not that we pray and ask God to fill us. It's not God's responsibility to fill us. We're already full at the day of salvation. Amen? But where the Scripture says, be filled with the Spirit, is how much of the Spirit we allow to control our life. Sometimes we get it full of other stuff. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as he begins, or he's already began, but as he's writing here, he's telling us to not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The world is very unwise. Somebody help me right there and say amen. The world is unwise. Their idea of happiness is certainly not happiness. Divorce and divorce and divorce and divorce and divorce. There's no way there's happiness in that. Amen. They marry one day and divorce the next day. Marry one week, divorce the next week. And just keep on and on and on. It's just a routine. There's no way there's happiness in that. And so as we look at the Scripture, the Bible says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is for a born-again believer, Christians, amen, to have a happy marriage. That is the will of God. And we don't do that. We don't have that if there's fussing and fighting and feuding in the home. Talked about that already. I'm not going to rehash that. But that's not a happy home, amen. Mom and daddy fussing and fighting with one another, that's not a happy home. And the children know that. And so we look at the Scripture, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a hard time with that verse of Scripture of giving thanks for all things. Hello? We have a hard time with that. There's some things I wish I didn't have to deal with. Amen? There's some circumstances I wish I didn't have to go through. But we're to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. We're going to deal with this subject of submission being the number two key in having a happy biblical marriage. And verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another. The big thing that a lot of people like to stand on is the fact that they say that women are to submit to the man. The wife submit to the husband. Well, that is biblical. Some take it to the extreme. Some try to rule with an iron fist. Amen. Some men think their wife can't speak unless they allow them to speak. I disagree with that. That's not biblical. Amen. Speaking to one another in love and in truth is all throughout the Bible. But here we see that Scripture says, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Husband is to be the husband and to love his wife, and the wife reverence her husband because she loves him. Let me just read the rest of the Scripture. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's the Bible. That's what it says in everything, not some of the stuff. I'll let him take care of the yard. That's all he's going to do. I'll let him take care of the vehicles, keep the oil changed. That's all he's going to do. That's not Bible. The Bible says everything. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body, or bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. You study this, but I just read three different times where God says for the husband to love the wives. Never did see where it says, wife, love your husbands. But it did say, reverence your husband. The responsibility is on the husband to love the wife. Amen? And if he's got a godly love for the wife, then she'll reverence her husband and be submissive like she's supposed to be because he loves her. Amen? That's just the way that works. The two go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Amen? So as we look at this verse of Scripture, we find verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's some things that must be submitted. First of all, our behavior must be submitted unto the Lord. Both of us, amen? Husband and wife. Our calling is to walk worthy of the vocation where we're called. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. We have to submit to the calling that God's called. We're to be Christians. The Christian home in our day is a sad mess. Amen? In the Christian homes in our day, it's in a mess. Most people look at the Christian home, can't tell the difference between a Christian home and a non-Christian home. They look the same. They act the same. They fuss, they fight, they feud, they get mad, slam things around, kick the dog, cuss the children, and whatever else goes on. Amen. They don't look any different than the world. So our vocation, our walk, is to be worthy. We're to submit to the walk that God has for us. Our wisdom is to understand what the will of the Lord is. It is not the will of the Lord for born-again believers to fuss and fight and feud in their marriage. That's not God's will. It's not the will of God for individuals within a marriage to be mad and angry all the time at each other. It's not the will of God for the wife to try to rule over the husband. It's not the will of God. It doesn't work that way. It's called a dysfunctional marriage. If you want it to function correctly, we've got to do it God's way. Amen. Just like Christ and the church. Christ loved the church. Listen, he is the head of the church, right? Verse 23, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So is the wives to be subject to their own husbands. That's the order. Amen? That's the order. That's the way it's supposed to be. If the church gets away from being subject unto Christ and begins to be subject unto the Pope, that's a dysfunctional church. Hello? Yeah. Amen? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. So God has an order for this to be done, and we have to understand it should be our desire to be wise, because the Scripture says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. Then also in our submission, we're to our control is to be filled with the Spirit. How do I do these things that God's commanded me to do? It's being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. As I said before, we're at salvation, the Holy Spirit moves in, and we have all the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. It's there, amen? We're full. But it's how much of Him we allow to have of ourselves. Sometimes we let all the other things in life get involved and get in the way. The Holy Spirit can't lead, and when He tries to lead, we don't listen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us tonight to be in Your house. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for mercy. I pray to illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay. Father, tonight I do pray, help us to glean from Scripture tonight. I pray, God, You'd help us to understand the Scripture. Lord, this is Bible, this is biblical marriage, and I pray, God, You'd help us to understand that. And Lord, I pray that You'd help each and every one that's here tonight. Lord, I will not point my finger at anybody. God, You do what needs to be done in the hearts of every individual, husbands and wives included. And I pray, God, You just do what needs to be done. Help us, Lord, that we all have a happy biblical marriage. And Father, we'll thank You. We'll praise You for what we learned tonight in the Scripture. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. I can say some things about marriage because I've been married 31 years. And I'm happily married to the same woman I married 31 years ago. Amen. And I'm not telling you that there hasn't been some ups and downs. There's been some rough patches. There's been some hard times, difficult times. But the greatest day in our life, whenever she realized and I realized some things according to Scripture. And one of those things is that the responsibility is on the husband. He's the head of the house. She relinquished that, said, okay, fine, you take it. That's your problem. I didn't really like the way she looked at me and said, that's your problem. Wait a minute now. We're supposed to work this thing together. No, man, that's your problem. But I'm the head of the house. It's my responsibility. And so we learn to deal with things together. Submitting yourselves together, one to another, in the fear of God. And that's the Scripture. That's what we're supposed to do. And so we learn to be submissive, and then we also learn to be forgiven. That's a big step. Learning to forgive. Then we learn this other big biblical word. It's called forbearing. We learn how to forbear one another. You know, there's the little quirky things that sometimes it drives you crazy. You learn to forbear that. Love overrides a lot of stuff. Amen? Because you love them. So Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 through Ephesians chapter 6 verse number 9 presents a basic textbook on human relationships and dynamics that impact most of our lives. It impacts most of our families, the places we work at. And so with that being said, let me just read chapter 6, verse 1 through 9, just so we can get that in our study tonight. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And all the parents said, amen. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. And that promise is that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't make them angry. Don't provoke them to do something wrong. Amen. Don't make them so angry they go off and do something stupid. Don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So let's read chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. So this is the basic textbook for human relationship and how it impacts our lives, impacts our family, the places we work at, people we're around. Our relationships are to be carried out by submitting ourselves one to another to fear God. That's the Bible. The key word submitting is instructive. It is a compound of the preposition under, and a word that means to arrange in order. Therefore, the word submissive means to arrange under in order. There's got to be an order to it. Amen? Outside of the will of God and outside of submission, you're out of order. Amen? You're out of order. And the whole, the submission, the order or the arrangement is compared to the Lord's house, the church. Wives are to be arranged under the husband, under the authority, as the church is to be under the authority of Christ. The church is not to be under the authority of a mission board. It's not to be under the authority of some convention. The church is under the authority of Christ. Amen? And so the wife is to be under the authority of the husband. That's biblical order. Amen? They're to be arranged under the husband, just as the church is under the authority of Christ. Husbands are to be under the responsibility of love. And the emphasis of that love is on sacrifice, just as Christ gave His life on behalf of the church. Amen? Husbands should love his wife so much that he would give his life for his wife. Amen? The benefit of the church is that Christ gave his life for. The benefit of the wife is that her husband loves her so much that he'd give his life for her. Husbands, guess what? Whenever you work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, you're giving your life for her. Amen? Now listen, I know there's some, let me run this rabbit. This is probably going to derail half of us. I know there's some that have a taste for the finer things of life. I know men have worked themselves to the bone, their fingers to the bone, worked themselves to death trying to please their wife and could not do it. I know a pastor right now that's no longer a pastor. His wife had the taste of the finest things of life. He pastored a church, worked a full-time job, and literally worked himself stupid. She wouldn't go to any of the restaurants. I'd go to McDonald's and eat. It don't bother me. She wouldn't go to the McDonald's. She wouldn't go to a Wendy's. She wouldn't lower herself to anything like that. She had the highest standard. She had to have her hair done, her nails done every single week. And listen, I mean, that's just the way she was. She had the finest clothes. He just couldn't keep up. He loved her to death, but he couldn't keep up. So she had a taste for the materialism and the finer things of life. She certainly wasn't submissive herself to her husband. That was a dysfunctional family, and it didn't take long until it blew apart. The Bible says also children are to be under the arranged order of correct behavior. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey the parents. Honor thy father and mother. You know there is a difference between honor and obey. Obey is you do because they told you. Honor is you do it without them having to tell you. Moving on, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. No organization can function properly if it has two heads. This is particularly true of the home. One of the greatest hindrances to a happy home and a happy marriage is the false notion that a woman does not have to be subject to her husband. That's a false notion. Modern psychology, modern education give women the idea that submission is an old-fashioned notion that went out before the 20th century. But when submission goes out of the home, guess what else goes out of the home? Happiness. Happiness goes out when submission goes out. Today we have more frustrated women, men, and children than ever before. With the downgrading of the father image and the rising dominance of the mother role, we have witnessed an increase in juvenile delinquency, an increase in rebellion, an increase in homosexuality, and an increase in divorce. I believe I gave the numbers last couple of services when we talked about marriage. It's every 50% of every home, every Christian home, I believe it is every 50% of those end in divorce, 75% end in the second divorce, or remarriage ends in the second divorce. It's amazing how much divorce has risen. And it's all because of modern education and psychology. to think that the woman doesn't have to submit to the husband. I'm just trying to help us tonight. Amen. There's been an increase in juvenile delinquency because there's no father figure. He may be there, but he doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the authority to be the dad. There's more rebellion. There's more homosexuality. You know how many little boys that act like little girls? They're trying to be like mommy because mommy's got power. Wonder where all that mess comes from. Hello? Anyway, we're moving on. We're having a good time. God intended man to be the head of his home. If he is not, he would not have a sense of responsibility and would subconsciously feel he was married to a second mother. His children will also detect who's the boss. As teenagers, they will lose their natural respect for their father that is necessary for them and their adjustment to life. There ain't nothing like having a godly daddy. Amen? There's nothing like having a dad with authority. Your dad speaks and you crumble. Amen? I know I didn't have to say much to my girls. After a time, they learned that look. If daddy gave them that look, boy, they dropped and stopped and dropped and rolled and whatever. If they got the look. Usually, a wife-dominated home is a quarrelsome home until the husband finally gives up. The sad thing is, a wife will eventually grow to despise the husband that she dominates. This is some interesting stuff. I was reading on this subject of submission and finding out that most of the time, the women that dominate the home will begin to hate the man that she dominates. The Christian woman must be in subjection to her husband. Whether she likes it or not, subjection is a command of God, and her refusal to comply to this command is an act of disobedience. According to Scripture, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. All disobedience is sin. Amen? So if they will not submit to the authority of the husband, it's sin, it's disobedience. Therefore, she cannot expect the blessing of God on her life unless she's willing to obey God. Now, let me back up and say this. I know there's some men, as a father and as a husband, that don't have the brain to be a father and a husband. There's one thing to be a daddy, there's another thing to be a father. Amen. There's one thing to put a ring on somebody's hand and know how to be a husband than just to be somebody with a ring on their finger. Amen. Now, we understand this. We're looking at this thing not in a worldly view, but we're looking at this thing in a spiritual view. Amen. What God expects out of the believer. And we're to be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And if you're going to marry, you better know how to run a home. If you're going to marry, you better know how to run a home. Amen. If you're going to have children, you better know how to father them. Not just to have them, but to father them. To be a father to them. To be a mother to them. There's responsibilities that goes along with all that. Therefore, if the woman is not willing to be submissive, she can't expect the blessings of God to be upon her life if she's not willing to obey God. Let me back that up with Scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says, wives, submitting yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and wife, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Amen? There's to be submission. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Amen? Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Be in subjection to your own husband. That's being obedient to the Word of God. And that is the key to having a happy home. God's tool for your happiness. The refusal of many Christian wives to accept the principle of subjection is increasingly common today. God never commands people to do that which is impossible or that which is not good for them. God never does that. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with them also freely give us all things? If God so loved us so much as to give His only begotten Son, He gave us that because He so loved us. What makes us think that He would give us something or tell us to do something that's going to be hurtful or that's going to harm us? It's not that way. It doesn't work like that. He would certainly give us all things that are for our good. So if the wives would, by faith, accept the fact that submission to her husband is for her good, she would be a happy wife. I was reading some articles about submission, and this one professor said that he was counseling a couple dealing with their marriage. And he said in his counseling session, he found that she was the dominating one, and which he began to try to explain to her what the Bible said, that she was to be submissive to her husband. And he started working with this couple. And she, of course, was saying how her husband was not able to do anything. He was ignorant and whatever else. She downplayed him. She dominated him and put him down. And the professor said, if you will give him a chance, maybe he'd surprise you. So she had to learn and started training herself to learn to not to jump to the conclusion, not to jump in a decision, but to keep her mouth shut and let the husband make the decision. Listen, if he's wrong, God would deal with him. Hallelujah. Y'all ought to shout. Amen. Amen. All the women ought to shout. Hallelujah. If he's wrong, God's going to deal with him. Amen. It's his responsibility. So she had to learn to keep her mouth shut, let the husband make the decision. And she learned the more decisions she allowed him to make, the more he was able to lead. The more he was able to lead, the happier he was. The happier he was, the happier she was. And it turned that whole relationship around where there's fixing to divorce. It turned it around to a happy marriage. Just putting it in order. Submission is to arrange in order. Amen. We've got to keep it that way. It is safe to say that dominating wives have caused great misery in marriage, both to themselves and to their husband. The woman who enjoys bossing her husband around when she is 25 may find life turning into a nightmare as she gets older. Listen to this. I wrote this down. If she creates a leaner, she teaches the husband to lean on her. If she creates a leaner, when she's older and wants a man to lean on, she finds that she has no one to lean on. Because she has taught him to lean on her this whole time. Now she's on up in years and she's wanting somebody to lean on. And she has nobody. What happens is those older women begin to find fault with their husbands, begin to despise them. The very ones that they married and loved for so long, they begin to despise them. She begins to despise the man she in her younger years trained to be a docile, submissive spouse. It's an act of faith in a Christian woman's heart for her happiness and for the happiness of her husband that she be obedient to God and put herself in subjection to her husband. That's just the order that God has laid out. Submission is not slavery. Many people think that whenever the Bible says, and we've talked about this before, I mentioned it at the beginning, the Bible says that the wives submit to the husbands. A lot of people think that she's to be the slave. She's to cook all the meals, wash all the dishes, keep the floors clean. She's to stay in the house, keep everything done inside the house. She's supposed to be a homemaker. Submission is not slavery. I'm not against washing dishes. Most of the time I don't get a chance to because they're done by the time I get there. But listen, there's nothing wrong with a man cleaning the toilet. Amen. Submitting yourselves one to another. Both of you mess up the toilet. Both of you can clean it. Both of you fill up the trash can. Both of you can take it out. Amen. Submission is not slavery. And it's not that you expect the husband to do everything outside. You got to mow, weed eat, you got to mulch, you got to climb the tree, get the cat down, you got to do all that stuff. I ain't doing none of that. That's not the way it works. Now, we all know that most of the time the man takes care of the outside, takes care of the mowing and stuff like that. That's normally the way us men do. But it's not slavery. I don't do it because I have to. My wife is not in the house with a hammer in her hand or a fry pan in her hand. Don't you come back in here till you get the yard mowed. It's not like that. Amen. I do it because I love my wife and I want the yard to look good. Amen. I want us to look good. I want the place to look good around us. So submission is not slavery. When a Christian woman seeks God's grace and to be filled with the Spirit, she is not a slave or in danger of becoming a slave, living in subjection to her husband. Many people think that she is to keep her mouth shut at all times and do whatever she's told. That's not Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. We can do that. Husbands are to be under the responsibility of love. The emphasis is on sacrifice, as Christ gave himself for the church. Husband give himself for the wife. It's not slavery. Don't beat them up. Don't expect them to be your slave. I've never, in my marriage, I've never told my wife, go get me a glass of tea. She's not my slave. Now, let me say this too, while we're on the subject of women. It drives a nerve up one side down the other to hear a man say, the old lady. That is not the way to address your wife. Amen. I don't care if she is older than you are. Amen. My wife's older than me, but I never call her my old lady. That's disrespectful. The old man, that's very disrespectful. Even though we're old. Amen. We shouldn't refer to each other like that. That's my wife. Amen. And that's my husband. That's the way we should address one another. That's disrespectful. And there's a lot of times that I know that there's marriages where the husband expects. So I've been in homes before. And matter of fact, I was in a home, and my wife will tell you, whenever we had the girls home, we was at home up in New York. And we'll never forget that visit. They invited us into their house as a pastor and his wife, and they invited us into their house and fixed supper for us or dinner or whatever. And nobody could move until the husband got his plate. You do not dare step in front of anybody. And she was sure to let us know, he's the king of this castle. And don't you pick up a plate, don't you even move till he gets his plate and gets it filled and he sits down at the table. It's like he was holier than thou. I thought, Lord, where are we at? But she reverenced her husband to the extreme. And nobody could cut into anything. You didn't eat, you didn't do nothing. He had to be first. That's respectful, I guess, if that's the way they want to live. But listen, marriage ought not be like that. That's slavery. Amen? He can get his own plate. Whenever my wife fixes the meal, now listen, I don't have a problem with her fixing my plate and bringing it to me. She don't know what all I want. I might have wanted two scoops of taters, or I might have wanted four deviled eggs or something. Amen? I fix my own plate. It's just the way it is. It's not slavery. Don't expect the wife, amen, to be the slave to the husband. And husbands, listen, wives, don't expect your husbands to be your slave. It's submitting yourselves together. And we do that in order, because that's the way God ordered the home. Amen? That's the way it's ordered. That's the way God wants us to do it. The husband is to be under the responsibility of love. The emphasis there being on sacrifice, just as Christ gave his life on behalf of the church and for the benefit of the church. The husband is to do the same thing for his wife, submitting ourselves one to the other. The husband loves his wife and treats her with respect and doesn't rule with an iron fist. It's a loving relationship, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Always remember this. You will reap more than you sow. You will reap more than you sow. If you sow submission in obedience to God, you will reap more blessings than what you've sown. If you rebel in disobedience to the will of God, you will reap abundant misery. I wonder why so many people have miserable lives, miserable marriages, because it's dysfunctional. It's out of order. Amen? It's not according to the will of God. When the fact that the wife is to be in subjection to her own husband and has established in her mind, any woman can be the submissive person God wants her to be. Now, I've been asked the question several times, preacher, my husband's a drunk. He don't go to church. He's not saved. Has nothing to do with the Lord. He wants me to go to the gambling house. He wants me to go down to the bar with him. And I'm supposed to be submissive to my husband. The Bible says, be not unwise. but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It is not the will of the Lord for you to submit to wickedness and evil. Amen? That's not being obedient to the Lord. Now, some people may get twisted up with this thought, but if he's doing worldly things, and if he's going to these places and wanting to drag you down to the bar hops and the hell holes of the world, and you're a saved individual, how in the world will you ever witness to that individual? Listen, he talks about the conversation of the wife. I just read that verse of Scripture in 1 Peter. By your conversation, which is your behavior, you may win that one to the Lord. If you give in to that and go to those places, how will you ever win them to the Lord? Amen? It doesn't work like that. You have to say, I will not do that. Amen? You got to take a stand. Well, you're to be submissive to me, woman. That's what the Bible says. You go to that crazy church, that holy church, holier than thou. You're to submit to me. I'm to submit to you under the authority of the Word of God. When you are the husband, you're supposed to be according to the Word of God. Amen? If the husband is saved and living right and is a born-again believer, then the wife is to submit to her husband, and they too submit to one another and commit their marriage unto the Lord and live a holy life, a godly life with one another. Makes a happy home. Amen? So sometimes people come to me, they're not even in church. Most of the time people ask me that stuff, they're not even going to church. And one of them's a drunk, and one of them's not. Most of the time it's the wife that's saved and going to church. And she wants to know why she has to submit to her husband whenever he wants to take her down to these bad places and take her to the poker house and do all this stuff. She said, I have to go because the Bible tells me to be submissive. Don't be a fool. Amen? Just don't be a fool. You'll never win them in their environment. You have to get them out of that environment. Amen? Wives, you stay true to God, and God will deal with him. He'll see that you love the Lord more than you do that mess. Amen? Let me just run this rabbit too while I'm on the subject. Might as well just go ahead and stir the pot real good. You're supposed to love God more than you love your spouse anyway. Amen? You put God first. God's number one. I've heard people say, and I don't want to be disrespectful when I say this, but I've heard people say many times, they say, I love my spouse, whoever, husband or wife. I love my spouse with all my heart. That's the wrong thing to say. That's the wrong attitude. You best not love them with all your heart. You better love God with all your heart. Amen? He gets all of that first, because you'll never love them with a godly love if you love them with all your heart. Amen? Now, I love my wife from the bottom of my heart. Nothing wrong with that. But I love God first. He's number one. Amen. Scripture says he must have preeminence. Amen? Colossians 7:3, he must have preeminence. He must be number one. So whenever it comes to being submissive to an husband that's out of the will of God, not saved, not in church, there's a line there. Amen? You are to be submissive. Now I know there's good men that don't do stuff like that. And the wives try to be good to their husbands and try to win them. I know a lady up in the mountains, and we've been praying for her husband for years. I preach revivals, and he loves me for what crazy reason, I don't know. But whenever he knows that I'm there, he wants to be at the church and hear me preach. And he comes, and we've wept and we've prayed and we've pleaded with God to save him, but he still hasn't given in to that. He's a good man. He loves his wife. He loves his family. He does all things well except for he's rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and hasn't accepted him as Savior. But she's submissive to him because it's her husband. Amen? And he's not doing wicked things and worldly things. But she asked me to pray for her husband and to remember him in prayer, and I try to do that. He's a good man. Does a wife have to be submissive to a man because he's not saved? Absolutely not. And don't think that I'm saying that. That's not what I'm saying. If a wife and a husband are living together and they can get along with each other and live together, amen, and he's not trying to drag her away from the church and into the sin of the world and making her do things that are a sin, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is a sin. As long as he's not doing those kinds of things and she's living with him and they're living happy together, and she submits to her husband, there's no problem with that. The line there is whenever he's trying to disobey the Word of God, get her to commit acts of sin. And it goes way deeper than that because the children are in the room. I'm not going to get that deep. But there's a lot of acts of sin that husbands create or have their wives to do, which is wicked and ungodly. That's not, don't even go there. That's stupidity. Amen. But wives are to submit to their husband, and the husband is, of course, to submit unto the Lord. And as they're both saved, Christian, born-again believers, they submit themselves to the Lord, submit to one another. In verse 27, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives submit to the husbands. The husbands love their wives. Loves them so much they give themselves for the wife. And the wife reverence the husband. She submits to his authority. Lets him make the decision. Doesn't mean she can't have some input. Somebody once told me, said, yeah, the husband's ahead, but the wife's the neck. She turns in whichever way she wants him to go. There's nothing wrong with the wife having input. Let me say this, guys. You better let your wife have some input. After 31 years, I've learned you better let your wife have some input. Sometimes mama sees things that you don't see. Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with a wife having an input. And if she stomps her foot and says it's going to be this way, that's when there's a problem. Hey, man, she makes the decision. That's whenever it becomes a problem. There's nothing wrong with having input. It has been proven when a wife stopped being the dominant leader and allowed her husband to lead, the more she allowed him to make decisions, the more he led. And the more he led, the happier he was. The happier he was, the happier she was. If the husband is right with God by being saved, submitted, and controlled by the Spirit of God, he will love his wife with a supernatural love. That love is unexplainable. Y'all know that? Most of y'all know that. You understand that. That supernatural love is unexplainable. How do you put up with it? I just love them. How can you love a woman that would, you know, say this or do that, whatever? It's a supernatural love. Amen? Goes beyond explanation. A wife who is submitted, spirit-controlled person will respond to that kind of love. James chapter 4, verse 7, the Scripture says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. One of the main reasons for having this study on having a biblical marriage, a happy biblical marriage, is because the devil wants to destroy every home that represents Heritage Baptist Church.
That's right.
And the Bible says if we'll submit ourselves to God and submit ourselves to one another, resist the devil, he'll flee. Doesn't mean he won't come back, but he'll flee. He'll go away. He'll know that we mean business. So the key to having a happy marriage, key number two, is to be submissive. The wife is to be submissive to the husband. The husband is to be submissive unto the Lord. Amen. And be obedient unto the Lord. And lead the home in a godly way. I believe it's the responsibility of the husband to work and to provide for the home. Amen. I believe that's the husband's responsibility. Nothing wrong with a woman working. I had a preacher one time get mad at me because he asked me, he said, preacher, do you think my wife should work? And I said, no, I don't. And he got upset with me, and when I had the girls' home ministry, and he dropped my support just because I said I didn't think his wife ought to work. I said, no, I think that's your responsibility. Now, there's nothing wrong with a wife working. There's nothing wrong with that. And in the world we're living in, a lot of times if you have anything, it takes two to work. Amen? Stuff is expensive. There's nothing wrong with that. But I believe it's the man's responsibility to provide for the home. Amen? If the woman makes more money than the man does that mean she's out of the will of God? No, I didn't say that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a woman making plenty of money, making more money than the husband does. It's still the will of God that the husband be the head of the house. If she makes more money, it's not my money, it's our money that God's allowed us to have. And let me say this along with our money, it's not really our money, it's God's money. And God's give us a portion of it. Amen. And we ask Him, what would you have us to do with this? Amen. Submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. We talked about the other week, the two in the Bible that sold a piece of property. What happened? They kept back a portion of it. And they lied to the church. And they lied to God. They was confronted. Said, you didn't just lie to man. You lied to God. God took them out. That's a whole other message. But the moral of the story is, don't lie to God. Amen. Be submissive to the will of God. Know what the will of God is. And so to have a happy marriage, whoever makes the most money, it doesn't matter who makes the most money, is that you work together. And the husband, love his wife. If she has needs, then do everything within your power to meet those needs. Amen. If the husband's, listen, if they have needs and the wife is making more money, then do everything that we can to meet those needs, whatever they are. And health, sickness and in health, amen, through death do us part, for better, for worse, Amen. Work together, submit together, and let the husband make the decisions and the wife submit to his decisions. And when he bloopers and messes up, God deals with him. That's all for you. You don't have to worry about that. Hallelujah. Men, that's not good for us. That puts a big old weight of responsibility on us. But listen, we decide to be a daddy. We decide to be a husband. So now it's on us. So we just submit to the will of God, know what His will is, and do what pleases Him, be obedient to Him, and we will have a biblical happy marriage. Amen? Submit to God, submit to one another, and obey His word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for the privilege You've given us, Lord, to be in Your house. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank